This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we are going to recap episode four of Clayton's season of The Bachelor. But stick around, guys. We have an amazing interview with Restless Road, who performed on tonight's episode. We talked to Restless Road what it was like to sing their new single, Growing Old With You, on The Bachelor. We talked about whether or not they saw any chemistry between Rachel and Clayton and what they got coming up, some fun tour dates and things like that. So stick around for that for sure. But before we get into it, man, let's talk about Nashville this weekend, man. What a fun time, Nashville. You are always, always a treat.
That you are. I'm still hurting very much.
I'm going to put it this way. You and a Boogie, we didn't even see our buddy Boogie. We went out Friday night and didn't see him again until we went out. Is that right? Friday night?
No, Saturday. Because I couldn't function Sunday.
Yeah, Eric stayed in Sunday.
I got bushwhacked. Everyone got bushwhacked.
That's why I don't drink that shit, man.
It's so good, though. Shit.
Unfortunately, everybody went a little too hard on the first night, except me.
I'll be the second night.
Second night.
Yeah.
What did we do the first night?
We went to
El Grand Ole Opry.
Went to the Opry.
It was amazing.
The best part of the weekend, though, is we got to see Eddie.
Yeah, we did get to see Eddie down there in Nash. First time I've personally seen, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen Eddie in over a year, well over a year.
We haven't seen Eddie, and I think we were talking about it, I think it was 2 years since I've seen Eddie in person.
Yeah, me too. Then it's probably
since he left for Virginia Beach.
Yeah, so it's good to see Eddie. Caught up with
apparently friends. Eddie doesn't care that he saw us because he hasn't chimed in yet. So
I was hoping you'd say nice things about me and think I wasn't listening. Yeah, no, it was. It's been 2 years. I moved out here in April 2 years ago, and man, nothing's been happening since then.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, geez. But yeah, it was fun. Fun to get to Nashville and get to see you guys for a minute. I did not go to the Grand Ole Opry, but I saw your pictures and it looked like a great time with old Michael Ray.
Yeah, Michael Ray. It was great to see him as well.
It was great to experience the Opry, especially the backstage area. That's pretty cool. Very hallowed halls there.
Mm-hmm. The pictures on the walls and just all the signatures and all that. They even have like memorabilia of what people wore when they performed and stuff certain nights. So yeah, it was plaques. Cool. I mean, I've been a country fan since I was a kid. So that was a cool moment for me for sure.
The plaques of the members to see like Johnny Cash's name, Patsy Cline,
Dolly Parton.
Yeah. It's just, wow.
Yeah.
Insane.
Some real history in those walls and in those hallways. So shout out to Michael Ray for letting us, you know, go, letting us be his guests. Cause it was really cool to see all of that, obviously. And then, Saturday we just went out, Jason Aldean's and, 1230 Club out there. It was awesome. Shout out 1230 Club. And then, Sunday, performed, which was a blast. I actually got to see Jay. Me and Jason caught up a lot. He's doing well. Me and Jason had some beers. So it was always good to catch up with that guy. Well, I guess we kind of saw him recently when we were out in Florida for Marco Island for that tourney, but good to catch up with him as usual. Caitlin's still on that damn tour, man, for another 2 months. Can you believe that?
That's he's got to be going out of his mind.
They both do. I mean, and he was explaining to me what that bus life is like, man. Whoa. Like they can't shower or shit on the bus. They have to fucking like pull over at gymnasiums and truck stops. And it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Rough life.
I know a lot of like the bands and artists, they shower, but yeah, there's definitely a no shit.
Yeah.
Policy.
It's crazy, man. It's a bus life ain't easy. But he's he's obviously misses her a lot and stuff. But he's just kind of, you know, he's obviously very busy too, but he takes care of the dogs and stuff while she's gone. He's able to see her. He's seeing her again. I think she's coming to Nashville. I think the tour's coming to Nashville here soon. So it'll be good for them to catch up because they go weeks without seeing each other, man. It's crazy.
It's coming through Denver at the end of February. I think.
Is it? Uh-huh. Oh, fuck yeah. Cool. I didn't know that. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Then obviously last night, Whiskey Row.
Yeah, DJ Whiskey Row, me and DJ Silver. It was awesome. I wasn't sure what the turnout was going to be. A Sunday, Broadway itself was kind of dead. Like I was kind of shocked, Broadway itself. But I tell you what, Whiskey Row was not dead. There was a line around the corner. It was fun. It was packed in there. I mean, it was one in, one out. Definitely a success. And everybody was really happy. And I mean, me and DJ, that was me and Silver playing together for the first time. And I think it went really, really well. It was a lot of fun. So a lot more about that to come. But it won't be the last time we're going to play together. We'll just say that.
No, it's the first of many.
Yeah, first of a lot. We got some fun things lined up for us. But yeah, shout out to Nashville Whiskey Row for having us. It was amazing. It was so much fun. I couldn't believe how much fun it was. And it was people, you know, I think there's like this misconception that Nashville is wild, like country, right? It's all country. And that is not the case. Yes, of course, it is, has its country roots. There are a ton of people who play rock out there, a ton of people who go like that. Our set at Whiskey Row was fucking, you would have thought we were in Vegas. Like it was heavy drops. It was trap. It was
big room stuff.
Yeah, it was big room music.
But also what I like about it is you, if you go downstairs at any place, you have like, you have, that's like the honky tonk place, yeah, right? Yeah. The street you hear, that's where you hear all the music from on the street level. Mm-hmm. You go upstairs in every club or every bar, there's kind of like the hip hop ambiance or room.
You're right. It's got Nashville has something for everybody. And I think a lot of people are scared to go to Nashville for whatever reason. And I think one of them being, they just think it's going to be frigging honky tonk and people will be, you know, slapping their knees and line dancing. And that is not the case. That is not the case. Nashville has something for everybody. It's one of my favorite cities in the country for sure.
So. And every just about every bar has a rooftop vibe now.
Yeah, everybody has a rooftop vibe. Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's fucking freezing right now in Nashville.
It was very cold there.
Very cold. Like way colder in Nashville than Denver for sure. For sure.
Until tomorrow, where I think
it's supposed to snow again.
Or
tomorrow.
Wednesday, it's supposed to be like 8 degrees negative.
Which is perfect for me. Because I am headed to Tulum, I'm headed to Tulum for eight days.
Nobody cares.
Headed to Tulum for 8 days, baby. So I'll be getting
out of it. What are you doing down there?
Hanging with some new friends that I have made. We'll just say that. Hopefully I get a fun gig down there. We'll see. I might play a little something. Some friends lining some stuff up. But yeah, I'm excited to get out of the fucking cold for even if it's just 8 days. I'm excited about it. So
quote unquote others.
Some friends that you will all meet very soon. Cool. Yeah, let's get into the recap, man. Actually, this episode is great. But you guys, remember, stick around. We got Restless Road coming up after. But let's hop into the episode. I like this episode, man. I did. I think this might have been the best episode of the season so far. It starts. I mean, it is just drama packed with some fucking blood and some crying, some tears. It's just this episode had everything. It basically kicks off where we left off, which was before the cocktail party and the rose ceremony and all of that. It kind of picks up with them sitting around the couches, getting ready for a cocktail party. And we pick up right where we left off with Shanae and Elizabeth. Shanae going at her and just all the women.
Shrimp gate.
Fucking shrimp gate. This has got to be, this is as bad as Champagne Gate. Like, this actually is worse, I think.
This is worse because this is stupid and silly.
Yeah. This is worse. This is way worse. All the women seem so frustrated with Shanae. Like, they can't even hide it at this point. They're all incredible. Like, everybody is frustrated with Shanae. And I mean, listen, I got to give it to Clayton. He pulled them aside, right? He pulled them aside. He tried to get the story. He tried to, like, figure out what the fuck is going on because he's hearing a lot of hearsay here and there.
His reaction to all of this is hilarious.
You're just like, what? It's just like deer in a headlight.
Childish. It's just childish. It's a big waste of time.
Mm-hmm. He just looks like a deer in the headlights. And I got to give it up to, I think Elizabeth handled this pretty well.
I mean, I feel like she tried to take the high road through all this and then ended up falling on the sword because he clearly made the wrong decision here.
I think Clayton is wildly physically attracted to Shanae. And he just doesn't have that with Elizabeth. I can't think of another reason why, unless he does like that, right? She's chasing him pretty hard. She is not afraid to be like, I am here for you. Nobody else. Fuck like friendships. I'm here for you. Maybe he likes that. I don't know. I can't figure out the reason why Clayton decided Shanae over Elizabeth.
Because I feel like every time Shanae's with him, it's always about Elizabeth. Like I don't even see her putting the time in him.
I agree.
I don't understand this one at all.
I was literally jaw dropped.
And especially if he was standing outside or somewhere where he could hear the whole room of ladies.
I want to talk about that.
How did he not catch something there?
So I want to talk about that, because not only did he kind of sit there and more or less eavesdrop on all the women, but then he sat there and eavesdropped on Elizabeth and Shanae too. And he's still like, even that conversation, I think red flags everywhere with Shanae. And then, yeah, he eavesdropped on the women. He heard the women going at Shanae. You know what I mean? Like he should have, I don't know, man, maybe we're missing something. Maybe we're seeing something between them. That's the audience is seeing, but there's something there. I don't know what it is, man, but my jaw dropped when he called Shanae's name to get that rose.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, it seems like we're seeing the same thing that the girls are seeing, because that's how everything's being edited to us. Like,
I mean, but we're not. Trust me. You know what I mean?
Like, I know.
Yeah, there's so much we're not seeing, but it's almost like maybe there was a big moment where Elizabeth fucked up with Clayton and they didn't want to. I don't know this, obviously. They didn't want to show it because they wanted to look like, you know, Shanae's, like, what the fuck was Clayton thinking picking Shanae? That's the only explanation I can make, because otherwise I don't get it either, man.
I'm still very surprised that the whole mocking of the ADHD thing.
It was sort of brought up.
But it still has not really been brought to his attention. I don't think, does he know about this at this point?
Probably not to the degree we know about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that's definitely the case. Well, I don't know how he's going to defend himself after tonight.
But I think he did like kind of tweet or send something out last week. He's like that he didn't see it.
That was last week though. This week, like, he did see it, or at least, you know, that eavesdrop. Like, I feel like he did see it a little bit. And everybody's going to be like, she's a producer pick. Yes, but no. Like, I think Clayton is into her. And then we see it later on in this episode. He is into her, man. He's very physically attracted to her. And don't get me wrong, Shanae's a beautiful woman. But I don't see the, like, chemistry intellectually, or, like, I don't see that connection that way. I just see physically he's really, you know what it reminds me of is, reminds me of Pilot Pete and Victoria Fuller. I think there was a ton of physical attraction there, but not much else. And I that's kind of what I see with Clayton and Shanae. So that's the only explanation I can make.
Yeah. And I feel bad for these ladies, because they didn't get time.
Yeah. They canceled the cocktail party.
Because of shrimp.
Because of fucking shrimp.
And then even while Shanae's sitting there with the room, while he's obviously eavesdropping, like, she just deflects, does not address any situation, anything she's ever said. She's like, I just don't want to talk about it.
And then not only is she like, I don't want to talk about it, but then she picks like one minute detail that apparently Elizabeth lied about being in the hot tub. Who gives a fuck whether she was in the hot tub or not? You know, she knows she's beaten, and I think she knows she's being bad. So she just picks this one minute thing. Like, and I don't know. I would love to go back to see if she was actually in the hot tub or not. Just like this one minute thing that she's now stuck on.
I'm surprised they didn't cut back.
I wish they would have. Yeah. I wish they would have. But it's so annoying. It's got to be so annoying. And you, like, was it Genevieve? Who was finally?
Genevieve was going in on her.
Finally, she was like, who gives a fuck about the hot tub? Who cares about the shrimp? Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're here to meet Clayton, you know, and I agree. It's got to be so frustrating for us. I mean, it shows, like, they're all, even the next day, you know, we see Gabby. She's like emotional. She's like just sitting there crying by herself. Cause I mean, and that environment is a lot. I know that's laughable at times, but that environment is a lot. And I think everybody's just like fucking worn down from Shanae and this bullshit. Like, they're just over it. You know what I mean? They're just over it.
Do you think Elizabeth could have, because she didn't even really put up much of a fight. Maybe she was just do you think she was drained and just like, fuck, this ain't worth it, man?
I think she was drained, and I think she has confidence in the fact that when it airs, she's going to be okay. And she's right. You know what I mean? Like, I think she had that confidence of like, Shanae's bad. I know all these girls know it. Clayton will see it. The audience will see it. So I think she has this confidence, like, you fucked up, Clayton, and you'll see why, kind of thing, when she was leaving. That's how I felt anyway. But listen, I think Elizabeth handled herself for the most part just damn near perfect, like as good as you possibly could in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I think she will have a very big Paradise storyline. I think she will come back to Paradise. She's going to be a day oneer in Paradise. And it's going to be, it'll be good for her. This isn't the last time we'll see Elizabeth for sure. So, the three that went home, obviously Elizabeth won, and then two other girls.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I think tonight was the first time who's Hunter? This is the first time.
Oh, Hunter was, she was pretty prominent in the last episode.
Was she?
In that group circle date. She was the one whose ex.
Yeah, you're right. You're
kind
right,
of yeah. like, yeah.
Talked about it changing her.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I didn't know her name was Hunter. I don't know why, but
yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so obviously we put that behind her. Everybody's like, okay, you know, we're going to have a better week this week. They're headed to Houston. Yeah, all the ladies are super excited about that.
Yeah, but did you catch this? Like, Jesse comes in. We're taking this worldwide international journey to Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What's international worldwide about this, bud?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he definitely means from like, we're not coming back to the mansion.
Yet. I know.
But I totally agree. Like, it's pretty funny. And I didn't know. I really didn't know where they were going. So I was like, interested. I was like, ooh, what are they going to say? I'll never forget on my season when it was like, same fucking thing. We're going to, we're going to travel. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to Utah. We were like, wait, what? We actually had to run that three times to act more excited when he said Salt Lake City. But it is always super nice to leave the mansion. It is very nice to leave the mansion. It doesn't matter where the fuck you end up, but it is super nice to leave the mansion. This first date, the first date we get is Rachel's one-on-one. All in all, listen, I like Rachel. I like Rachel a lot. They clearly have really good chemistry. She's beautiful, badass job. That was like a big thing that Clayton loved. She's a pilot. This date though, for me, especially the day portion, was missing something. It seemed boring. Something was missing to me.
Yeah. We're just going to pull up on this random family freaking barbecue. What
the fuck was that, dude?
I didn't understand this one at all.
Like I thought
it was not well planned.
It was bizarre. I thought they were going to be like actual, I don't know, like people Clayton knew maybe, like how his friend came in before and they talked. Like, why not have his friend's family be there with his wife and his kid?
Do a double date, little park.
This was a bizarre date to me, man. Like these random fucking people, completely random people who were not good on camera. They didn't ask enticing questions. They weren't high energy. That was a bizarre date to me. The horseback riding,
fault. They're not professional actors. They're
clearly
it's a real family. That's weird.
Yeah,
were they just like horseback riding and the producers went ahead? Like, do you mind if we crash your thing here?
Such a weird thing to me, man. Like, yeah, I don't know, because you could tell they're not actors or anything. They weren't like asking good questions. It was just awkward. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Awkward. Like, it just felt
those are
awkward.
Real life people that were like, they probably didn't even want to do that shit.
Yeah. They probably didn't know who the fuck Clayton was. You know what? That's what it felt like. Yeah. That's what it felt
Why would you know who Clayton is?
Yeah. We didn't even know. Super weird, man. But I will say, Rachel and Clayton, they were cute the whole way through. They had some cool. The one thing I got to say about Rachel, man, I don't like the way she whispers. She whispers a lot to Clayton. She's like, I'm so happy to be here. Man, stop. I feel like she's trying to be cute and everything, but she is adorable. They have good chemistry. They did have some good conversation, especially in the night portion. We went to like the night portion of the date.
Do you think that she was still going to be struggling the more this goes ahead? Because last week she was searching for validation, but then this week we kind of got a little more out of her that like one of her exes just wasn't
secure
to be supportive.
Yeah.
Pretty much of her. And very insecure and jealous, it seemed like, of her profession.
Yeah, so you're right. I talked about this last week. She needs validation. And like I've said it before, this environment is the last place you can get validation. She got it this week with the one-on-one. But at the same time, she still talked about how she didn't get enough from her ex. So I definitely think this is her narrative. It's going to be... It's very hard for her because Clayton's falling for other women. It's been spoiled. It's been shown on previews. Clayton says, I love you to three women. I think her narrative is going to be a lot like mine was in Becca's season, where I was just losing my mind the whole fucking time. She's having an incredibly difficult time. We had an early connection and they have an early connection. And it's going to be like her just slowly melting down and being super nervous and super, not necessarily jealous, but just like, I need more. I think it's going to be like that. I need more from him. I need more from him. But it was really cool hearing her open up about her ex and some of her insecurities in her last relationship. She didn't get the support. He was insecure and jealous. Sounds like, yeah, obviously she's a badass. She's got a great career. Some men can't handle that. Some men need to be the breadwinner, the masculine energy in the relationship. And it sounds like, you know, she needs somebody who's not like that. And from what Clayton said, he said he could be that person. Now time will tell, but he said he could be that person, which is pretty cool. So that's gotta be good for Rachel to hear.
For sure.
Yeah. She seemed to truly need that tonight to hear that.
Yeah. I think Rachel's going to be around for a while is what I was going to say.
But yeah.
I
same.
Think, yeah. They got a great connection. This was a big one-on-one. The first
top four.
Yeah. I could see if top four, maybe top three, the first travel date is a big one. That's the one Garrett got. It's a big one. It's like, you know, you're finally out of the house, pick somebody who you can rely. Like that's a big one-on-one too. This was good. And it was big for Rachel. And I think she's gonna be around for a really long time. Maybe to all the way to the end. So we shall see. She gets the rose, obviously. Mm-hmm. But going on back home, we read off the date card for the next date.
Well, we're not done. Restless Road.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Yeah. Which just was actually a really cute moment. Restless Road.
Good I love friends music of ours.
Dates. Yes, great, great friends of ours. I love music dates.
Stay
guys.
Tuned for after this.
Yeah. We talk to them and we'll find out what they think.
Yes.
About, you know, because it's always cool to see behind the scenes, because sometimes you have people who are on the show, they're cute as fuck when they're in front of the camera, and then they'll walk away from each other the second the camera's off. So stay tuned to see if that's the way Rachel and Clayton were. BRS Road, they're big fans of The Bachelor. We talk about that.
Massive fucking fan. This was like one of their goals of last year.
Yeah.
To be on the show.
Yeah, literally. This was one of their musical goals for 2022.
And if you guys have listened to us for a while, our previous conversation with them about a year or so ago, another previous episode, we did talk about this a lot. Like, there was a dream of theirs to perform on this show, and it did happen.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to see.
It was.
And it's also fun to hear how awkward it is being in a room 2 feet from some people, just random people you don't know, just making out.
Just tonguing each other. They got some fun stories and everything, and they crushed it. That their new single, Growing Old With You, is amazing. Perfect love story. And you never know, Clayton and Rachel end up together at the end of this. Maybe this is their wedding song, you know, this is their song. So, but yeah, stay tuned. Restless Road is amazing. And you're going to hear a lot from them. They're going to be big time. So now on to what's going on back home, where we read off the names for the next date. And it's everybody but Serene. Serene gets the, obviously now the one-on-one, everybody knows that. But Shanae's name is written or is, whatever you talk, spoken, and everybody's pissed off. And it sounds like, I think the date card says something about football, right? So something about like, or head to the stadium.
Yeah, meet you at the stadium.
Meet you at the stadium. So of course it's football, guys. Like, of course, right? Clayton's a football player. There's a fucking football date every damn season, it seems like.
We also, didn't we see a highlight of you in there?
Oh yeah, I was going to say they had the Bachelor Bowl like highlight reel from all the times they've been football. Saw me and Clay in there. Clay was in there rolling people, just fucking rolling over people. So yeah, listen, this isn't a joke. Like when they say we're going full tackle, it is full fucking tackle, guys. Like I broke my finger, Clay broke his fucking wrist. It is real.
Ended his NFL career.
The Bachelorette ended Clay's NFL career, man. So it is real. It really is. And a lot of those girls, you saw a lot of turf burns, you saw some blood, you saw bandages everywhere. That's all real, guys. That is not for TV. These girls, and when you're in that environment and you really are fighting for that trophy in that extra time, it is all out, man. It is fucking, it is very intense. And I loved the energy from these girls, man. Marlena was
Incredible. She was
the MVP of this game. Holy
incredible.
Shit.
Incredible. Like, she just the jets. Show. Like, her shit talking, her energy. Like, I loved it. I could
she was, like,
her.
Hyped up.
Dude, like, she was jacked like, up. It was so fun
She's like
to watch.
Ray Lewis out there trying to pump up the defense. Like,
and she's fast as fuck, man.
Watching the Olympian. The Olympian came out.
Dude, the other girls look like they were standing still.
Yeah, there's no men look standing still next to her.
She was fast, dude. She catches that football. She hit the corner, and I was like, "Oh, they're gonna catch her. Good pursuit. No, terrible. Not gonna catch her. Not gonna catch her." Like, no. She was fun to watch. Serene or not Serene? Sierra.
Sierra.
Sierra also.
Sierra just tackling Shanae without the ball.
Gotta respect that. Gotta respect that. Shanae just running down the field and. Sierra just tackles her without the ball. So fucking great.
Teddy kept putting pressure on Hunter.
I mean, listen, the Purple Punishers, they were heads and toes competitively above the fucking, what were they, shrimp something?
Shrimp stampede yes. Or something. They definitely stacked the Purple
they did
team on this one.
Stacked them. It wasn't fair. It wasn't
fair. They put
fair.
All the, like, the pretty dainty girls on that blue team. Like,
it was not fair. No. Shanae obviously had a target on her back. She got some big hits in.
Marlena trucked her ass.
Shanae got up. Real hard. I got to respect that. But yeah, trucked her. I don't know. Listen, I loved this day. It was fun to watch. All the girls were having fun with it. It looked like Clayton was having fun. It was real hilarious to see girls who clearly had never played football or even watched football before. Like, one of them picked up like an incomplete pass and ran it back for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was Sierra.
Yeah, and he's like, bro, that's not how this game works. It's a dead ball.
Dead ball.
Yeah. Watch them try to hike the ball and then fumble it and all
or
that.
Or just in the locker room standing 3 feet apart, throwing the ball and dropping it.
And at one point, Clayton's like, Gabby, you got a block. And she's like, why?
Why?
Yeah, it was a fun date. I had a lot of fun. And, you know, obviously, like I said, the Purple team fucking dominates 21-0. They get the trophy and the extra time with Clayton, which is a big deal, guys. It is, especially for now. We've had a cocktail party canceled. So a lot of these girls some of these girls have been able to talk is about Elizabeth and Shanae. So they're fucking pissed.
And it does seem like every cocktail party they've all been kind of interrupted, right?
Yeah, I think they've all been cut short at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of these girls haven't had time with Clayton, so not getting the extra time is a big deal. Not shocked. Shanae, the girls go back to the house. They're chatting with the other girl, with each other.
It seemed like on this night portion, though, on that one-on-one time, there were a couple women like Genevieve Van Sierra finally did
talk. Yeah.
Talk about Shanae to Clayton
and in
bring
a good
up
way.
Like yeah.
Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like they were bullying, if you will, Shanae.
I still don't understand like this whole and that's one thing like she still like when we talked earlier, she just doesn't address it. What is bullying to her?
Well, she tried to explain it that one time with Elizabeth and to Clayton with Elizabeth sitting there, and it was something about how like she didn't even look at me when I offered shrimp. And Shanae, or remember Elizabeth looked at Clayton and was like, "Is that bullying?" And then Shanae interrupted. It's like, no, that's not fucking bullying. Good God.
Oh man. Lord, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Shanae is a producer's wet dream. Like watching this show. I know what those producers, they sit behind the camera and those ITMs, I know in their ear mics or whatever you want, earplugs or whatever you want to call them. They're just like in the producer fucking control room being like, yes, get more from her. Tell her she's winning. Tell her she tricked Clayton. Tell her to put the rose in her mouth and shake. And like, producers are just like, this girl is fucking gold.
So obviously everyone is back at the losing team's back at the hotel or whatever. Are the producers then like, tell Shanae they're over here talking shit. Let's get her over here.
Yes, 100%. It's a for sure. Like, yeah, absolutely. Or not even, they wouldn't be like, hey, look, come over here. She's talking. They're like, Shanae, you should probably go back into the room with the girls or whatever, something like that. You know what I mean? We're going to film something in this room. So then she goes in and then she overhears. Not shocked. Yeah. Listen, there's always somebody, right, who kind of comes into the date when they're not invited, right? They lose. Mm-hmm.
They want to come back. It happened.
Happened in Michelle's season?
Michelle's season with Jamie.
Well, Nate was on the date. I can't remember the guy.
I think it was. Oh, it was Chris S.
It was
Chris S.
Kind of like one of the assholes.
I think it was Chris S. Season. Yeah, Chris S. And then I remember Crystal did it.
Rendon then, right?
Chris Rendon, I think, did it. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Crystal did it on Ari's season. So this happens a lot, but I've never seen somebody who the girls hate her so much, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them one fucking bit. I would hate her too, especially knowing what, I mean, they don't even know what she's saying in the ITMs and they still hate her. Like, imagine watching it back now. For these girls are going to be like, oh man, I don't know how Shanae's going to get out of this, man. But I want to get into, she walks in, right? She walks in with Clayton, interrupts her. And I think it was a Genevieve.
Sarah.
And Sarah goes back to the girls and like, you know, you won't believe what just happened. Shanae just interrupted. And the
Clayton
girls
didn't
are
look very
out.
Happy about this either. Like,
he didn't at first. He didn't. And Sarah communicated that to the girls. It was like, you know, mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be okay because he didn't look happy. He looked, you know, he was kind of shocked, blah, 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 blah.
But then, of course, she ends up on top of a bar.
Dude, Clayton is, she has Clayton wrapped around her finger. It's like hard to watch, man.
I mean,
it's embarrassing.
Got that power.
Yes, it's embarrassing, man, because we know who Shanae is. We've been seeing the ITMs. He doesn't. Don't get me wrong. But it's just like hard to know how much she is playing him. Like, I truly feel like she is playing him. And yeah, he's into it, man. He's picking her up on the bar. They're making out a bunch. He's like, you look so good in this dress. You couldn't look better. Just like, God, she may get the group date rose.
Could you imagine?
You fucking imagine?
Yeah, because at that point, no one has stood out yet.
No.
On that group date.
No, not. I mean, other than Marlene. Maybe.
From her, yeah.
From the actual
from being
football
the MVP
game.
Of the game.
Yeah. So.
And I don't even know if I could say this, so like, this might be edited out. But she got that power of the P, man, on this guy. Like,
oh, no. Oh, 100%. No.
And that's what I said. All men fall to that shit.
Clayton is thinking with his penis with Shanae, not his head. 100%. Yeah. And I said that. They have crazy physical chemistry. He is very attracted to Shanae. And we'll see if that ends up being... If he keeps her around another week, can you imagine? Good God, man. But this episode ends. Shanae runs out to the ladies.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, Clayton lets him know that some of the girls have been coming to him and talking about Shanae. That pisses Shanae off. She runs over, grabs the trophy from those girls, says, keep my name out your fucking mouth, throws the trophy into the whatever, the woods, the garden, whatever you want to call it. And that's more or less where the episode ends. Tell you what, this was a good episode, man. This episode had everything. Good cliffhanger. I give this a solid 9 out of 10. I really do. This was a good episode. Dude, if he keeps Shanae around again, I'm going to...
Because I feel bad because there are some good girls in this group, and it's like you're really losing some good ones here, man.
I agree, man. And like, it's getting harder and harder to defend Clayton at this point. And I don't know how he can get, like, I don't know how he's going to save face this episode, because not only did he give her the rose at the beginning of the episode, but then he's making out with her after these girls have clearly told him how much of a red flag she is. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he can explain himself.
I think like a girl like Susie's gonna have to like, yo, wake the fuck up here. Because like him and her have this like amazing connection where I feel like if she were to speak up, he would probably like take that to heart.
And that's very true. And that is I think Susie and Rachel right now, if they sat him down and was like,
or even Gabby.
Maybe Gabby. I don't know if they're quite there yet. They haven't had a one-on-one. But yeah, those three, I think, you know, but I'll never forget when in my season, that's funny you say that, because in my season, I think we were in Virginia, there was drama between Jordan Kimball and Chris Rendon, and they were like arguing with each other. We had this like debate date. They were arguing with each other. And I remember Becca took me aside and was like, I've heard from other people. Like, I want to hear from you at this point, like what's going on in the house. Cause it does, like, obviously more people carry more weight.
Because it seems
Sierra
has come to him about like multiple girls in the house. So maybe he's seeing her as like, all right, is this girl just kind of stirring the pot on her own? Where like maybe someone who hasn't really voiced an opinion, it carries a lot more weight.
It carries a lot more weight, but Susie'd be dumb to do it. Susie is.
That's true.
She's on the fast track to hometowns.
Okay,
because like connection. Rachel too. Fast track to hometowns. They'd be dumb to do it. Like they should just keep their hands clean.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking of saying that, because what do we always say is like that's the last thing you want to do is actually talk about someone else in the house.
Yeah.
That takes
I don't think that'll happen. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen next episode.
But this is a very different group because they all seem to really like be love supportive each of each other, which we've never seen.
I mean, we see it, but I don't think we see it to this degree, man. Like Elizabeth started crying and saying, "Like these are her best friends."
Best friends.
Because 5 days in,
What
the fuck? Yeah, like I get being like they're friends, and like you know, I mean, I was close with a couple of the dudes, but like,
yeah. Whoa. And this is a once in a lifetime experience. Only you and your, it's a small sorority right there.
Yeah.
Of course you guys go through this experience together. You're going to have a deep connection on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But best friends, like,
yeah, That was a lot. And she even like caught herself before saying it, but she said it anyway. And I will say the one thing my house didn't really have my season, we didn't have a real villain. Jordan Kimball wasn't a real villain. He was annoying as fuck, not a real villain. When seasons have a real villain,
was just a young narcissist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But when seasons have a real villain, they're able to get closer because it's like her versus everybody. You know what I mean? So I think seasons who have like for example, Luke Parker, those guys all were super close in Hannah B's season because they all were like teamed up against Luke Parker. And I think we're seeing that with Shanae. And so I do think these girls are maybe a little closer than other seasons, clearly closer than other seasons. But it's cool to see how supportive they are of each other too. It's always a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some really good friendships, I think, come out of this season, which is always fun to see. So we will see. We will see if Shanae sticks around. Maybe there's I wouldn't be shocked if he lets Shanae around another week, which is fucking insane. Cause next week, if she makes it through next week, dude, I mean, she's almost a hometown. She'll be in like the top 6 to 8. It's crazy.
Yeah, because there's some other women that like I would love to see more of that me we're too. Not seeing because of all this.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are going to probably be.
I want to see more. Yeah. I want to see more of Marlena. She was so fucking fun on that football date. Like, I want to see more of her.
Like, I think it's like who's like Jill, Marlena, that Lindsay W.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the only time we see them talking is about the drama.
I know.
Because they
Sierra, they get no time. I feel like Sierra. Teddy. We haven't seen much of Teddy and Clayton. You know,
and was it Serene?
Yeah. Yeah. She gets the one-on-one.
I know she gets the one-on-one. Yeah, so we'll see a little bit more of her.
Yeah, we'll see some more of her. Tell you what, there's been a lot happening in these episodes that, I mean, we only had 2 dates. You know what I mean? We only had the one-on-one, a group date. And then like
we've had more cancellations than like dates.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And I don't know. I feel like we've only seen like 3 rose ceremonies. I think 2 rose ceremonies in 4 episodes. I think 2. Unless you count the first one.
It's been
the first one. Yeah. The first one. Yeah, yeah. So 3. But yeah, it seems, I don't know, there's a lot of drama. But we shall see what happens next. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Stick around. Restless Road coming up next. We chat with them about a lot of fun stuff, so stick around.
Well, come on, baby, what you say we do? I feel like growing old with you. Growing old with you.
Restless Road, welcome back, boys.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see your faces again, your ugly mugs. It's been a minute, so it's be fun to catch up, man. It's going to be fun to catch up.
Yeah, last time we talked to you, it was a lifetime dream of you being on the show, and here you are singing the new song tonight.
Yes.
Right.
That's so wild. Yeah, because we did talk about it, and you were like, yeah, we'd always love to play on the show, and here you are, your debut, man. That's awesome. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about how... Before we get into, you know, all the amazing stuff you guys got coming, how did you go about getting on the show? Like, did you guys reach out? Did they reach out? How did that work?
Did Blake do anything for you?
Did you guys throw my name around? I carry a little weight.
Yeah. It was all you.
It was all because of Blake.
They love Blake at ABC.
Oh, yeah.
They told us if we didn't know you, we would have never
Basically, ever since we started working with our current team, which has been, I think we're coming up on 3 years now. One of the first things we said, we gave them 2 big goals. We said, we want to play the Grand Ole Opry and we want to be the musical guest on The Bachelor. And 2021 was a rough year for a lot of people, but for us, we got to knock out 2 of the biggest dreams we've ever had. So we got to do both those things.
That's actually awesome. Yeah, big year for you boys. Yeah, huge year.
You guys just did the Opry in the last month, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've actually got to play twice this year. And we were actually we were driving ourselves to one of our shows. I think late summer, and our publicist called us, surprised us, and we almost went off the road. Went off the road, crashed, and missed the show. But yeah, we were over the moon.
That's incredible. That's so cool.
That's crazy. Foreshadowing here, but yeah, Blake and I were just at the Opry because Michael just played there. I guess 2 nights ago on Friday. So yeah. we're there with Michael Ray, and that's our first time at the Opry.
It's a special place. Awesome. It's a special.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. No, this is pretty incredible. So when you guys got the news that you're playing on the Bachelor, first of all, are you guys Clayton fans? First of all, are you guys big Clayton fans?
When we found out the news, I don't think the Bachelorette had even aired yet. We were excited to watch the season and see who it was going to be. And I think when they started that Michelle season and I think a lot of people were kind of wondering, where's Clayton at?
Yeah.
And but I really did think that they did a good job on his final episode that he had. That episode touched me when he was talking about wanting a family and stuff. Right. I related to that, but that made me excited. And I guess we kind of met him before we ever saw him on TV.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, I was going to say, were you guys able to like sit down with Clayton before? Did he know you guys were going to be singing? Like, how did that work?
I think they told us he had gotten familiar with our stuff before the episode. So
oh, cool.
He had told us that he had just discovered country music. Really. I think 8 months he had been listening.
Oh, sure.
So he said he had heard us before and named a couple other people, but yeah, he was filled in before we got there.
He had the song for a few weeks and was ready for us to come and his date, Rachel, it was a complete surprise for her. So after we ended up performing the song, we got to have a few minutes with them together.
Oh, that's cool. We got to see them.
We got to talk to them a little bit off camera and see their vibe.
I was just going to say, that's the $1 million question. Everybody wants to know, like, were you able to feel their chemistry, their vibe? Like, was it there?
Oh, yeah. It was real.
It was definitely real for sure.
Yeah.
And how awkward is it being on the show in that setting? Because like, they are literally 2 feet away from you making out. And you're playing just to them.
Basically, what happened was we were in this room. It was set up really cool, really beautiful. And there was this massive sliding door. And they said, hey, the second that they're on the other side of the door and the second that door opens, y'all start the song and they're going to walk through. And I don't know how long it took for him to open the door, but it was like the longest.
Felt like an hour.
5 minutes of my whole life. We're just standing in silence, looking at the door, just waiting for it to open. And they open the door and they walk through and they come right up to the front. They're 5 feet away from us. And I'm not kidding y'all. It was 3 minutes straight of stop kissing.
We're watching
them, but we can't. It'd be rude not to watch them, but it's weird to watch them.
Right. We were instructed, they were like, just nod and just take it in, just really appreciate the moment. And it was really cool for the first minute, and then the next 2 minutes after, I'm sure, you'll see in our episode. But it's like we probably just were smiling really weird for about 30 minutes.
There's going to be some memes for sure.
Yeah, I think we're going to get memes for sure.
That's amazing. It is awkward. Even like producers, sometimes I remember when I was on the show and I'd like make out or whatever with Becca, like you'd see the producers kind of like turn their back. They're just like, fuck, we've seen these two make out for the last fucking 2 months,
Yeah.
But you guys obviously can't do that.
Yeah.
So no, it is an awkward thing. So were you more nervous for the Grand Ole Opry or were you more nervous for The Bachelor?
It's so hard.
I don't honestly know. I feel like, so we were like in the swing of things. So when all this happened, we were out on the road. And we were kind of, at least we had been out on the road playing music and stuff like that. But I don't know. There's just something about being when you're on TV and that there's millions of people at home watching this. I don't know. It's like now I don't
it
feel
feels
like,
a little more permanent.
Yeah. This is etched it forever in history.
Yeah.
So.
I would say like the Grand Ole Opry, I definitely felt more emotional.
Right.
I think we all cried a lot. We had family there. It just meant a lot to be there. But as far as just straight nerves go, I was definitely, we were nervous.
There's probably a puddle sitting on my keyboard.
Well, it's also the difference too of like, all of us have been to Grand Ole Opry shows. And so when you're there, you know what that's like, because you've seen a show. But right. when you watch something on TV over and over again, year in and year out, I think that, you know, you have kind of an expectation of what it will be like. And then you're in the room about to do it. And it's just mind blowing. You're like, I cannot believe that we're standing here on this show that we've watched for like 10 years now. Like,
that's so cool. And that's a great point. Like, TV is permanent. I think that was a good word for it. Like, it feels so much more permanent when you know. Yeah, and you, when so that obviously also aired, I mean, filmed what, 2 months? I don't know, even like 2 months ago? You filmed it? And so you have to sit and wait. The waiting of it is like brutal. Yeah, it's really brutal to do that. But was the production, was all the producers and everything. Oh, how was Jesse?
Yeah, because I was about to ask, because I think we had Scotty McCreary on here and he performed on one of the dates. Right. Years ago, and he said, like, Chris, they made him wait all day, and Chris Harrison came up to the bus. They were doing shots and like drinking. And Jesse strikes me.
We saw him in passing. We didn't really get to talk to him. I mean, we saw him in the room.
I don't even know if we did.
Was he even there? I didn't see him at all.
We passed him.
You know what? We probably got him confused with Clayton, like everybody.
That was good. They could be brothers.
I know, it's insane. Oh, that's too bad. Because sometimes I wonder why Chris Harrison was there for that one day. Because it's not like they're on those one-on-one dates or anything. Right. So that's interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Cause he comments on my pictures and shit, and we like banter together. I'm like, Chris Harrison would never, you know. I feel like Jesse be like a cool guy to have a beer.
He's a quarterback. Quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, I think it'd be a fun. Lot and, yeah. and party. They get down a bit.
Probably a good time. So, well, cool. So all in all, it was you guys felt like the experience was amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I felt like one of the coolest parts was, you know, you get to see a lot from the cast members, and then you get to follow the cast members even after the show. But one thing that's always a mystery is the producers, right?
Yeah.
Such a big part of the show. And what was so cool was we got to kind of see one of the producers there. She was so cool. Answered like all these questions we had. We learned that y'all don't actually eat the food at dinner.
No,
that was shocking.
That was a big shock, but yeah, it was just so cool because, you know, we had all these ideas. We were like trying to give date ideas. So, you know, I'm pretty sure the next seasons will be really great. Thanks.
Listen, we were plugging ourselves for the guest host for Bachelor in Paradise. Yes. That's what we've been trying to sneak ourselves
in there.
That's
our next goal. They're very aware of that.
There you go.
It killed me. We were waiting for the sliding doors to open, and it's dead silent. And the producer had her earphones in, and she was like, she comes up. So she's like, She's crying. And she's like, hold on. It's good tears.
In the play-by-play, in real time, she's like, they're walking, they're taking a step, and she's crying. But it's
and really the vibe the whole day was that, you know, Rachel was like, a front runner, and that today they had like a lot of emotional, you know, conversations, and we're like making strides. So yeah, hopefully when we performed from it, it kind of solidified it and brought them closer. And
yeah. I'll say, if Rachel wins it, it's on you guys. Like, it's because of you guys.
It's all.
I think that's our chance to get on the final rose, the after final show.
Oh, yeah.
The goal is to sneak as much of us in as possible from now on. See, I mean, what do y'all think? Shouldn't there be a house band on Bachelor in Paradise?
That'd be awesome.
There's a bartender. So why can't there be a band? It's like in between the drama, you can go over to like the oceanfront band and just take a load off.
We'll even come up with some like jingles or stuff. Or like,
that'd be so fucking why not? Actually, a fucking house band. Like, hey, let's go down to the band, boys, and let's just go down there and ripping shots together.
We'll sing the intro.
Almost Paradise. This would be so dope.
That would be amazing, actually. Did you guys pitch this to them? Did you pitch this production?
Oh, yeah. We've got every idea that we've ever had. They've got it in their hands. We might as well have made them like a binder full.
Very aware. Well, you know that's a new thing now, making binders full of notes for everybody. Yeah. That's like a new thing. So, you know, just be prepared.
bust out the old school trapper keeper.
I can't wait till next season when there's a date and you guys are like, holy shit, that was our idea. You're just like...
I love that all your musical goals are all around The Bachelor too. Like,
I'm not.
Like,
the ultimate goal is to be able to go and buy the season later on, and then like to know that, you know what, I can turn on this forever, and we're going to be etched in history. Like, come on,
it's true. It's true. And if, you know, I love the idea you guys just said of playing on After the Final Rose, because if Rachel and Clayton in our end game, you know, they end up together, like, serenade them at the finale, like on live television.
You'll be performing at their wedding.
Yeah, the wedding song.
And so obviously we got to talk about the song, Growing Old With You.
Yeah, let's get into it. So if you guys didn't know, obviously they sang Growing Old With You, their new single that just dropped. What was the idea behind?
Everywhere.
Yeah, available everywhere. What was behind that song as you guys were writing it and stuff?
Yeah.
Obviously, it was for Clayton and Rachel, right?
Yeah, definitely. So this was a pitch by a buddy of ours, Charles Kelly, and it was one of those, I feel like as soon as we heard it, it was kind of immediately we knew. We hadn't, up to this point, we hadn't released like a ballad love song. And then when we heard that we were going to be performing on The Bachelor, it was kind of like a no-brainer. This had to be the song. I just feel like it kind of it's one of those songs that lyrically everything that you hope for as a contestant, at least on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, you obviously hope to grow old with somebody. So I feel like it was a perfect mm-hmm. opportunity. And the response to this song has been incredible up until this point. So we just can't wait to see where it goes from here.
It is a perfect song, like for the love story of The Bachelor, you know what I mean? It works perfectly in that experience and everything. So everybody go check it out. Go listen to it. Obviously it's catching some steam after, isn't it wild to think like millions of people just saw that you guys performed this song, you know?
Oh man,
it's wild. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's like, it is like a lower, obviously Super Bowl's insane, but like, it's on that like same thing where like millions of people watch and it's on fucking Hulu and it's on all these that now people will continue to watch, you know, moving forward. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool moment for
sure. That's what's been interesting. I feel like to watch all these people that you see go on these shows, like as musical guests and just watch their songs, just like boom right after. And it's just because, that just goes to show how many hardcore Bachelor fans there are.
Bachelor Nation.
Because it doesn't, it doesn't matter what song. I mean, you could be singing probably Old MacDonald and they would know. So it's been really cool to have a song.
Yeah.
Part of that.
No, it's a cool experience. And obviously, you know, with this song coming out, where are you guys, like, what's up next for you guys? What's next for you guys? I know you got some tour coming up, a headlining tour.
Yeah,
and obviously wrapping up a small venue tour, right? Yeah. with Kane playing small markets. You guys just played Madison Square Garden. That has to be incredible.
Yeah, insane.
Talk about a dream come true. Apparently, it's not on your bucket list, but
that's shocking. Yeah, it wasn't. It's been an awesome year.
We're so lucky. Kane Brown's been a buddy of ours, and he signed us a couple years ago, and we're just about done opening up for him on his huge, massive Blessed and Free tour. We got our last stop coming up in Las Vegas. So feel free to fly out. We'll have a boys.
Okay.
Let's go.
We might have to think. If we have an open weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking about coming out on the, because you guys are on the West Coast here, like the beginning of February.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We're finishing out on the West Coast. So it's going to be a big weekend, but I'm telling you, you got to come to Vegas.
Yeah.
That's going to be the last night of the tour. And you're in Vegas. I mean, you got to blow it out big. You got to go hard. So
keep that in mind. All right. We'll keep that in mind.
I'll be there.
Our headline tour, Bar Friends. So, and that picks up in April. So I think it's going to be a really big year for us. And
just going to kind of take all that, you know, experience that we got opening up for Kane and all the exposure and stuff, and just kind of hopefully roll that up into our headlining show and give people, you know, a great, you know, long set and start to meet some of those hardcore fans. And we're excited.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are just starting. I can't wait to see what you boys got up your sleeves, what you got coming up, because it's awesome. I mean, you guys are crushing it. This could be a big year. Huge year. And it started off, kicked off with the Bachelor baby.
What a way to start a year.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, everybody go check out their new single, Growing Old With You. And look for them out on the road. They'll be out there. So
good show.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys so much. It was good talking, good catching up.
Good to see you, dude.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.